Luke chapter 4, and we're going to not be in the book of Acts tonight since we're not all going to be together. I want to take the opportunity to talk a little bit out of Luke 4, and then we'll be over in the Old Testament as well tonight after we get started. So Luke chapter 4, and so find that. Brother Joe, did you hear my announcement about the shoot class and the range instruction? Did you hear that? I just didn't know if I just said 186 rounds, any caliber handgun. If you're not going, take your name off the list, right? And then we're counting everybody else being there. As I saw it, we have one slot Friday night and 7 slots on Saturday right now. Okay? Unless you've got a change to that. Okay? Very good. Luke chapter 4, verse number 22. And I appreciate the work that Brother Joe has done with Bill Graham in getting ready for this thing. Okay, let's look at verse 22 here, Luke chapter 4. Jesus is in the synagogue in Nazareth, and the Bible is, we're going to pick it up in the middle of the story here, and all bear him witness and wondered at his gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Of course, talking about Nazareth, because he was from Nazareth. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, that's Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias or Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, Zarephath, a city of Sidon in the Old Testament, unto a woman that was a widow. And we'll talk about this matter tonight. The business of putting God first. That's the title of this short story tonight, this short study in God's Word, putting God first. And let's pray together, okay? Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we have tonight with the folks in the auditorium. I pray that you'll bless the meeting upstairs with Brother Hall. Again, Lord, we ask for Brother Caleb and the campers out west that you'll bring them home safely to us and help Primary Camp to come to a great conclusion tomorrow morning. For these moments, Lord, we have your Word open. And Holy Spirit of God, would you please fill us and use us and speak to us. May our ears be ready to hear. May our hearts be attentive. Lord, may we learn something tonight that will help us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. I love this passage of Scripture. Jesus is just beginning his public ministry, just getting started. He has returned to Nazareth where he grew up as a child and a young person who, of course, worked as an apprentice for his guardian, if you will, Joseph. And verse number 16 is very interesting. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. I love that verse, and I love that statement right there about the Lord Jesus. Jesus' custom was to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, this was the day that the Jews assembled for what we would call services, if you will. This wasn't a church. It was a services with the Jewish Judaism and so forth. And I want you to see that the Bible says his custom was to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus was faithful to those synagogue meetings. And let me just say tonight, this is not the lesson, but a good opportunity. It's summertime, and I appreciate your faithfulness to the services of the local church all year long, but especially in the summertime. Man, so many, even Baptist churches nowadays, are closing their doors on Wednesday nights and some even on Sunday nights and not having services. And you know, if something works, why fix it? Why change it? And I appreciate you so much being faithful. I just want to encourage you to stay faithful. And I know I'm talking to the Wednesday evening crowd, but it doesn't hurt us to hear this. Be faithful. I understand circumstances don't allow some of our church members to be here on Wednesday night. Many of our men work or get home too late from work to attend the services. But I'm afraid that some sit at home and don't do anything but watch television or have something else going on. And I want to tell you something, friend. I don't think that is a viable substitute for being in the house of God on Wednesday night. I just don't, and I appreciate your faith. I'm not going to preach to you about it because you're here. But I think that's wrong. I think the influence is wrong. And I appreciate you being here on Wednesday night. And even on vacation, be faithful to church. You know, I hope you can get away for a vacation. I know a lot of times folks can't go like they'd like to, and some can't go at all. But if you get a chance to go on vacation, man, be faithful to church. It's fun and interesting to stop in and visit churches on vacation. Find you a good independent Baptist church and get in it. And I understand sometimes you get caught when you can't be in a service because of travel and so forth, but don't let that be the norm. Let Roadside Baptist Church be few and far between. Amen. And if you get called away on a Wednesday night or something on vacation, at least have a Bible story and a time of prayer together as a church, as a family. Amen. But be faithful that the Lord was. I want you to also notice in verse number 16 something else about Jesus. I want you to notice that he took part in the service. Notice here, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So the Bible says that not only was his custom to be in the Sabbath day, but he stood up for to read. It sounds like this was his common practice as well. Now listen, in the Jewish services, in the synagogue services on Sabbath day, they had readings from the Old Testament. They would read from the Psalms, they would read from the prophets, and they would read from Moses or the law, the first five books of the law. Okay, Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so they would read from those passages of the Old Testament in synagogues on the Sabbath day. And so here's Jesus. He's standing up to read. Again, he is a perfect example for us in every area. Not only was his custom faithfully to be in the synagogue services, he didn't go there just sit like a bump on a log. He participated in the service. And they don't have services like we do. They had different type service, different order of service and everything. But you know, boy, you always get more out of church if you just put something into it. No doubt about it. And that's what the Lord did. Now, in this case, on this occasion, Jesus was given the parchment that contained the writings of Isaiah. And he turned to what we know as chapter 61. Now, he didn't have chapter 61 because it wasn't divided into chapters and verses yet. We know it as chapter 61. He turned to it. This was a messianic prophecy, and it would not have been unusual to read that portion because the Jews often read portions about the Messiah. Okay? But when he finished reading, look at what he said in verse number 21. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It was a messianic prophecy. And what he was saying, he was announcing that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He was the Messiah. Now, the people in attendance, they denounced his announcement by claiming, "Oh, what are you talking about? You're just the carpenter's son. That's all you are, just the carpenter's son." But Jesus, in that first, when he got back to Nazareth, that first Sabbath day, he read from Isaiah 61 and he said, "Folks, your Messiah is here. I am the one that Isaiah was writing about." And but most of them rejected him. Said, "Oh, you're just a carpenter's son. We know you. We knew your dad. We saw you grow up here. You apprenticed in the carpenter shop. And that's all you are, just a carpenter's son." Now, Jesus was not surprised by their reaction. Look at verse 24. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." No prophet gets honored in his own country. That was his country, Nazareth. It's where he grew up. Okay, so he said, Jesus, he's not offended. He says, "You know what? Okay, no prophet is honored or accepted in his own country." And then he used two prophets from Israel's past as examples. Now, I'm not going to talk about Elisha tonight. I'm going to talk about Elijah. Look at what he said in verse number 26, verse 25. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias." That's Elijah. "When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them," none of those widows, those many widows in Israel, "none of them was Elijah sent. He was sent unto a widow of Sarepta," or Zarephath, "a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." So you got a lot of widows in Elijah's ministry in Israel that are hurting. Elijah was not sent to help any of them in their distress. Rather, he was sent to a widow who lived in Zidon. Now, look, folks, you sometimes look in your map in the back of your Bible. Zidon was in Phoenicia. And Phoenicia was not a part of Israel. And the greater part of the population was Gentile. It's north, okay? It's north, above Samaria, okay? Not in what was the nation of Israel. And the greater part of the population was Gentile. So here's what Jesus is saying. He said, "Your disrespect and your dishonor is not new. No prophet is ever properly recognized in his own country, his own land. Even Elijah was not sent to a Hebrew widow to help her. Instead, he was sent to a Gentile widow who would respect him and listen to him. And Elijah helped a Gentile widow in distress rather than going to one of the Hebrew widows that was in just the same distress. Now, you know the story he's referring to. Okay, so hold your finger here, put your ribbon or a card here. We're coming back here in a little bit. And let's get over to 1 Kings chapter 17, where this story is written. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse number 8. Okay, Elijah has been at the brook Cherith, and the brook is dried up. The ravens have brought him bread and flesh there in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. God took care of him. And then he sent him to Zarephath. He said, I've got a widow woman there that I have chosen to sustain thee. And you know this, you know the situation here. I'm not going to take time to read all of these verses, but I want you to look at verse number 12. And she said, now he's asked her for something to drink, and then he asked her for something to eat. Okay? And she said in verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, this request that Elijah made of this woman was basically, this is what I'm talking about tonight, was basically to put God first. Put God first. Now, folks, putting God first is not just a mental exercise. It's not something that we just say we are doing to soothe our conscience and convince ourselves that we are doing right. Putting God first is realized by something tangible. I'll promise you, if you knock enough doors in this town, you'll find folks who don't go to church, don't read their Bible, don't do anything as far as Christianity is concerned, yet they'll claim to be saved, and they'll even make the claim that they're working hard at putting God first in their life. But you don't put God first just because you say you put God first. Putting God first has tangible results. In this case, putting God first was this lady making a cake and giving it to Elijah rather than eating it, making it for her and her son. It was tangible. You could see it. You could smell it. You could taste it. It was something that was evident. It was real. It was not just some word, some verbiage that sounded good, but this lady actually put God first. Now, there are two lessons here that I want us to take home with us tonight. Two lessons about this. And the last one is really what got my attention, but I'm going to spend a little time on the first lesson, and then we'll move to number two. Number one, here's the first lesson I think we need to take home with us tonight. Putting God first goes against our nature. It goes against our nature, our old Adamic sin nature. Look at verse number 13. If you'd like to mark your Bible, let me show you the key word in verse number, the two words that are key in verse 13. Make me thereof a little cake first. There's your key word. And bring it unto me, and then here's your next key word. After. Make for thee and for thy son. After. Make me the cake first, and then after, make for you and your son. Now, folks, come on. Every parent, and especially moms in this room, knows deep down that caring for your child or your children last or after is not natural. That's not natural. You know that caring for your children comes what? First. Do you know that on airplanes, some of you have flown, you understand, you know, you board the airplane, you're sitting there, you're profiling everybody that comes on the airplane to look out for those that you might think would be troublesome and ready to knock them in the head if need be. Amen? I'm serious, okay? And looking around and everything. And so finally, the door closes. And, you know, they say turn off all electronic devices. And then the attendants, it used to be stewardesses, but now there's as many male flight attendants as there are females. So the flight attendants, they space themselves. And I fly Southwest 95% of the time, so there's no first class. Everybody's a spam eater with Southwest. I like that. And there's no Godiva chocolates on Southwest, okay? And so, but they'll space themselves, two or three of them, throughout the cabin, and they'll say, would you please listen attentively while we go through some safety features on this airplane? And about 180 passengers, maybe three people listen attentively, okay? And they talk about the seat belts, and they go through all the business. And then they talk about this. They talk about the cabin is pressurized. And if for some unforeseen reason the cabin loses pressure, oxygen masks will drop down and there's a little compartment above your head there. You got the call button and you've got the light and you've got the vent for the air or the heat, you know, that you can adjust for your comfort. And then they got that little door there. And if the cabin loses pressure, that thing, the door swings open and the oxygen mask drops down. And they go through showing you how to put it on your head, snug it up tight, and you know, all that business. And that's so you'll have some air, if the oxygen, if the cabin loses pressure. And then they always say this. If you are traveling with small children, y'all heard that? Always put your mask on first. And then help your children. Now, why do they say that? Because the natural instinct of a parent is to care for the kid first. But if the parent gets locked up and, you know, kind of nervous and frantic and doesn't get it done soon enough, the parent could pass out from lack of oxygen and the kid can't help the parent. If the child passes out, but the parent gets their mask on, then they can help the child. So they tell us, I always tell you, if you're traveling with small children, you put your oxygen mask on first and then assist your child. Because it's just not natural for you to put your child, me to put my child, after anybody. Now come on, don't go to sleep on me. Right? No, that's not natural. That's not natural. Now look, folks, putting God first goes against our nature. It goes with the new nature. That new person, that new man that we become when we get saved, that new person in Christ Jesus, putting God first goes wonderful with that. But unfortunately, we don't lose the old nature. So we maintain that old nature, and there's something about putting God first that old nature resists. I don't care how long you've been saved, how your close to your walk with the Lord is, the old nature is always going to be around to resist and fight against putting God first. Taking care of self first. Always. Let's go through the five, if you want to call them the five fundamentals of your Christian walk. Let's go through them quickly here. First of all, reading the Bible daily. Even if you are in the habit of reading your Bible daily, there are still times when that goes against your nature. And the first thing you want to do is turn on Fox News. Or Mike and Mike. Or check Wall Street Journal. Or something. Pick up a book or do something different. You know, there's something else at the start of your day that wants to have first place. Even if you're in the habit of getting up, you know, splashing some water on your face, getting yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of water, and sitting down to read. There are times when your old nature just screams against that. And putting God first goes against the old nature, doesn't it? Praying first thing in the morning. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Does the flesh scream against that? I'm convinced, folks, that the devil, I've said it, and I'm going to jump back on this prayer thing on Monday morning, Prayer 101, Part 3. We'll be talking about give us this day our daily bread. And you know what, really, the more I look at that and read that, I really believe that what that is the generic everyday prayer that really doesn't take you and I very long to cover. There are times we're going to have to pray longer about specific things, great needs, lost souls, people we want to see saved, relatives and so forth. But just to get the day started, this is a nice little model prayer. And Jesus said, touch on these things. And you know, I am convinced that today, we always have staff prayer meeting on Wednesday. And today, it was just one of those days where everything was going crazy. And it was just Brother Hall and I here. The other fellows were at primary camp. Brother Caleb's out there. So I said, Brother Hall, at 9 o'clock, we'll pray together. 9 o'clock. Well, then the insurance adjuster showed up to look at Leah's car. And so now she's here. So we got to wait. Then I got to get a phone call from this person. And this is going to... So finally, it was about 10:30. Maybe 10:45, and we finally got down to we knelt down in my office, and my cell phone rang 3 times in a row with calls from different people that hadn't rung all morning. That's coincidence? That's not coincidence. That is satanic warfare against this matter of prayer. Absolutely. And it's not just Satan that fights this matter of prayer. It goes against our old nature, our Adamic nature. And so sometimes there's a fight, a war, to put God first in the matter of praying in the morning. How about this one? Giving in times that are tight financially. Oh, how the old nature screams against that. Screams against it. When things get tight, the first thing that we are tempted to cut is our extra giving beyond the tithe. You know, people keep talking about the recession, and I know we have men in this church that are working for far less money now than they were back in 2007, 2008. I know that. But you know where I see this more than any other area? The giving is on our Wednesday night others offerings. Do you know, I was telling Brother Jertberg the other day, by the way, we had a nice offering for Brother Jertberg on Sunday night. I appreciate it. But I was telling him that a missionary could come in here on Wednesday night on deputation, show a presentation, give about a 15-minute talk, pass the plate. We'd get anywhere from $200 to $325 for a missionary on deputation. That was kind of the norm. Now, it might be $125, $150. And you know what? I think part of the problem is nobody carries any cash. Everybody has a debit card. And nobody comes to church with any cash. I look at that and go, man, isn't that interesting? And I understand some people's situations have changed. I'm not getting on you tonight. I'm just telling you an observation. This is my observation. My observation is that, you know, I'm not sure that we have, in most cases, we have less to give. We just have kind of gotten out of the habit of, this is why I like taking a project like Brother Watt. And the next project is Rick Dawson's son is starting a church in Alabama, and we're going to give 4 or 5 weeks to that. And then we have another. There's a black guy, Patrick Henry, starting a church in inner city Atlanta, Georgia. I know the area where he's going to be starting his church. I talked to him on the phone. We can't have men. We're just too crowded. And so we're going to take 4 or 5 worth offering. I love taking these 4 or 5 week offerings because you know what? If I can't afford to throw a $20 bill in on the first night, over 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, if I throw $2 or $3 a weekend, I can give $18, $20 to a mission project. And I enjoy that. And I want to tell you something. I think God notices it. I really do. But boy, sometimes giving like that, just the old nature just screams about it. Witnessing to the lost. Oh, how the old nature screams about that. Staying faithful to church. You said, man, you're talking to Wednesday night people. You know, I understand. You know what I believe about the crowd tonight? I believe that probably the greater majority is here tonight because you wanted to be. You look forward to it. You said, man, I'm ready to go to church. But I'll promise you, across this auditorium tonight, there are people who tonight, the flesh said, too tired, too busy, too this, too that. And you got dressed for church with your old nature screaming at you the whole time. But the fact that you're here means you put God first. This is what I'm talking about, folks. I'm saying this. At times, these things and others, they're not natural to our old man. They're not natural to the flesh. They're not natural to our old nature. Call it what you will. Our old nature fights against putting God first and desires to follow the natural way. What's the natural way? The natural way is me first. And that's what this widow woman expressed. When he said, make me a cake first, she said, no. She said, I don't have enough meal for that. I'm going to take care of what I want to take care of. I'm going to take care of me and my son. And by the way, did you notice the order she said that in? Me and my son. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the natural thing for all of us is me first. And God says, me first. Me first. Me first. Me first. Me first. Me first. I love Patch the Pirates Kidnapped on Island, don't you? Great story. Me first, God says. Me first. I don't want to put you first. I want to put me first. And this is an ongoing problem. This is an ongoing thing. And I am referring tonight to the attitude as it pertains to what we know as part of our Christian walk of faith. We sometimes are unfaithful to the things I just mentioned because of how it cuts across the grain of our nature. Hear me, if you are waiting to get faithful in your Bible reading until you always feel like it, you'll never get faithful. And if you're waiting to pray until this ooey-gooey, warm and fuzzy feeling comes over you and you just jump at prayer. And by the way, sometimes we do. Sometimes we anticipate it. Sometimes we look forward to it. Sometimes it's like, man, I am so excited to be able to talk to you, Heavenly Father, this morning. But I want to tell you something. More often than not, it's do this, do that, think about this, talk to this person. Don't pray. You don't have time. Come on. Yeah. The old nature fights against that, and God says, me first, and we say, me first. It always cuts across the grain of our nature. So, putting God first goes against our nature. Now, here's the thing that I really want you to see tonight, back in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Here's the second thing I want you to take home, and I'm going to be done in about 10 minutes or less. Chapter 4 in the book of Luke, here's the second lesson, okay? Putting God first goes against our nature. I'm talking about our old nature. Number two, God honors anyone who puts Him first. Did this widow live in Israel? No. Was she a Hebrew? No. She was not one of God's beloved and chosen. Hebrew widows were the people. Just because they were Hebrews, they were not entitled to God's blessings because of their tag. God's blessings on them were conditional. And evidently, God in His sovereignty and providence knew that not a single Hebrew widow would put Him first. And so He sent Did God honor this Gentile woman? Yes, He did. Did He meet her needs? She and her son and her family, the Bible says, ate many days, and she was a Gentile. So all of these widows, tagged as Hebrews, went without, while this Gentile widow had her needs met. Anyway, that's kind of odd. That's not fair. God's looking for people to put Him first. And God's not really interested in your tag. Now listen to me tonight and don't miss what I'm about to say. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. I believe this book right here makes you an independent Baptist. I don't believe you can belong to a denomination with a bunch of cooperating churches and superintendents and bishops and people taking corporate money and be what this Bible examples for us in the book of Acts. There was no conglomeration of churches. They were autonomous, independent churches. I don't think you can have a woman as a pastor and be a church as a Bible here in the book of Acts. I am an independent Baptist by conviction. I mean that, folks. I don't know what you are. I mean that. I think I know what some of you are, but sometimes it really just floors me sometimes what I hear. It floors me. I don't know what you are by conviction. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. I could not be a member of a church that sprinkles for baptism. I could not be a member of a church that teaches you pray to Mary. I could not be a member of a church that doesn't practice separation. I couldn't be. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. I believe that's what the Bible makes you. And I believe, although sometimes cantankerous in spirit, I believe doctrinally the independent Baptists are on target. The old rooted independent Baptist. But I will say this tonight. Being a member of an independent Baptist church does not mean that we are tangibly putting God first in our lives. Well, I'm an independent Baptist. Yeah, they were Hebrew widows. They get blessed? Nope. The Gentile did. But they said to the folks, you know, unfortunately, God's not near as much into this entitlement philosophy as Mr. Obama is. Now, salvation is free. Amen. But 90%, if not more, of the blessings that come after salvation are contingent upon our putting God first. We're not entitled to all these things just because I'm your child, God. I'm one of your chosen. So were the Hebrew widows. But their needs weren't met. The Gentile widow's needs were met because she put God first. Now, you can believe this or not, pal, but there are Christians in other denominations or church groups who may be off on a certain matter doctrinally when it comes to separation or even the Bible or soul winning. But you know what they do? They put God first in several areas of their life practically. Now, that hair lifts Independent Baptist, but that's true. They put God first. They go to church regularly. They get up in the morning. They read their Bibles. They have their prayer time. They give. They witness. They tangibly put God first in their life. And you know what God does? God blesses them. God honors it. Because God is looking for people who give more than lip service, so I'm going to put God first. God's looking for people who tangibly put Him first. And if He has to bypass all the Hebrew widows and go to a Gentile, He will. And if you have to bypass a bunch of Independent Baptists who believe that just because they're Independent Baptists, they're entitled to some measure of blessing because look where I go to church, He's going to bypass those to other groups who tangibly, to the best of their knowledge, put Him first. Are y'all with me tonight? You understand what I'm saying? You have to wonder. He said many in verse 25. Many widows. You have to wonder how many widows were in Israel. By birth, they were Hebrews. And yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. God sent Elijah to a Gentile widow because God knew the Gentile woman would put him first. Now, folks, we're not grandfathered into blessings just because we are... Our tag is Independent Baptist. Now, I'll tell you something. If God has a handful of blessings that He's looking to pour out on people, I'd like to get in line for some. I need them. And it's, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm an Independent Baptist. I got a King James Bible. Never read it. But I carry it. And, you know, I don't pray. I'm an Independent Baptist. And God says, I'm going to find me an evangelical who doesn't even use a King James Bible. I know this is not popular. But he reads his perverted Bible faithfully. And God blesses him. Hello, Brother Angel. It's not very noisy in here right now, but that's okay. Some are asleep and some are just, you know. It's what it is, folks. God's love is unconditional, but His blessings are not entitlements. God is looking for a heart that will put Him first, no matter the church name on the resume. So I'll just be something else. I can't be. I've got to be an Independent Baptist, but I want to be one. But when I line up for blessings, God says, here's a man, as an Independent Baptist, puts me first. Now listen, I have family, and some of you do as well. They're not Independent Baptist. They're faithful in some kind of church, in some area. Even my family, I consider them to be off target, doctrinally. But they put God first. When it comes to those areas I just mentioned, they put God first. God has honored them. I have family that probably wouldn't go to this church if they lived in this town. And they're blessed. They're in their Bible. They pray. They witness. They give. It's more than lip service. God's not saying, well, let me check the resume. Let me check what name, what church affiliation is on the resume here. Oops. Man, you're doing a great job, but you're not an Independent Baptist. Sorry. I think it's the other way around. Well, your resume says Independent Baptist, but you never read your Bible. You hardly ever pray. I got a lot of blessings to give out, but I'm looking to give these blessings to people that put me first. Y'all okay? Folks, don't settle down with the name on the resume and line up for an entitlement. When am I going to get my phone? I want my phone. There ain't no phones. I'll tell you what God will do. Where is the person putting me first? Where? Look at all those Hebrew widows. Oh. Whoa. Here's a Gentile widow. She'll put me first. Bless her. Sometimes, listen now, I'm done. Sometimes it is not a matter of what group we belong to as much as who occupies first place in our life. Folks, sometimes some of the people that we would consider to be off target doctrinally have never heard. They're only functioning on what they've been told. But in their tangible way, they're putting God first. I don't know about you, but if God is up in heaven with an armload of blessings to give out to people who put Him first, and He's not necessarily looking for the tag on the resume, He's looking for people who tangibly put Him first. I want to be in that crowd. That's where I want to be. All right, let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening tonight. I pray that you'll think about these things. And let's put God first. Not just lip service, but put Him first. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. I pray that You'll help us tonight, Lord, to leave this place determined more than ever to do what we can to put You first in our lives. May You occupy the throne of our hearts. Lord, we are Independent Baptists by conviction, many of us. We wouldn't be in anything else. We don't look down our noses. That's not my intent tonight at all to talk like that. I don't mean that at all. I am an Independent Baptist by conviction, but God, I am not entitled to blessings because of the tag that's on my resume. I want to put You first. I pray that You'll help the folks of our church, Faith Baptist Church, an Independent Baptist Church, Lord, to tangibly put You first. And I know that You'll honor that as You have so many times. Thank You. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name.